Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, May 6th. Letter: Air Park's loss would outweigh any gains. The story is written by Stuart Doreen. Closing Midland Air Park would outweigh any gains that the Midland City Council believes is possible with the airport's relocation, according to an opinion article from the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Tom Chandler, who resides in the Texas city of Heath, is the regional manager for the AOPA, and he wrote in an opinion article that will appear on today's Reporter Telegram that the city of Midland isn't looking to move the executive airport along Loop 250 in North Midland, but close it. Quote, building some additional hangars and associated taxiways at Midland International Air and Spaceport would not offset the losses to the community if this airport were to close, Chandler wrote. Chandler wrote that Air Park's benefits to pilots and plane owners include its location, and those benefits, quote, would be lost forever, unquote. He also described the potential change of moving Air Park facilities to Midland International as the weakening of a proven economic driver. He wrote Air Park, quote, is home to more than 100 aircraft and sees more than 40,000 aircraft operation every year, end quote. Quote, a 2019 study completed by the Texas Department of Transportation's Aviation Division revealed that Midland Air Park has a positive impact to the local community of $14.6 million annually, including 90 jobs, which represent $3.6 million in payroll, end quote. Chandler compared the closure of any airport to the removal of a highway off-ramp, as off-ramps dramatically impact the economic viability and overall development of a community, he wrote. Quote, the situation is even more pronounced when it comes to airports, Chandler wrote. Continuing the quote, businesses, hospitals, law enforcement facilities, and other critical infrastructure are located strategically to take advantage of the benefits an airport brings to the city. Each of these directly impact quality of life in Midland, end quote. In April, the Reporter Telegram provided details of a letter Mayor Patrick Peyton wrote to the FAA about relocating Air Park. It included the city's commitment to, quote, design and build a new general aviation facility at Midland International based on current and future needs with modern, efficient, state-of-the-art hangars and other facilities, end quote. He also mentioned in the letter that the city will save money maintaining one airport instead of two, and the runways at the airpark will need expensive rehabilitation in the next 5 to 10 years. Additionally, moving the airpark would provide users with longer runways, an on-site air traffic control tower, and greater security, according to Peyton in the April Reporter Telegram article. Terry Johnson says Fed's importing COVID into Midland with migrant camp. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. County Judge Terry Johnson was critical of the federal government for importing COVID back into Midland County after residents clawed their way out of the pandemic. Johnson made his remarks during the State of Midland event. He answered a question from moderator Tracy Bentley, the executive director of the Permian Strategic Partnership, about the camp located southwest of the city of Midland, inside Midland County. Johnson said the camp, a former man camp owned by Cotton Logistics out of Katy, and the housing of migrants has created a lot of, quote, confusion, anger, angst, and fear with residents of Midland. He also said fears are warranted, although, quote, may be overblown a bit, unquote. He then was critical of the federal government for the lack of information they are providing community leaders. He said that on Monday, camp officials told him there were 524 migrants at the camp. 31 of them have tested positive for COVID-19. 12 more were expected Tuesday, and another 38 on Wednesday. He said the camp is staffed to typically have a 1 to 12 staff-to-migrant ratio. Quote, "That's all the information we get," Johnson said. "That's all we know." End quote. Currently, the camp is holding younger children, ages 5 to 12, and teenage girls. Johnson did tell those gathered at the Bush Convention Center that Midland had clawed our way out of COVID and gotten back to the point where its residents could have events and meetings, but that the federal government is impacting the progress made on the COVID front. Quote, "We mitigated a bad situation," Johnson said. "Our federal government is importing COVID back into our county, and that is not right." End quote. Johnson then added the migrants are kids, and the camp is part of a humanitarian effort. He said, "Ultimately, the federal government has control over what is happening at the border, and something has to change there." Grand Honor. Anwar's profile in Bush's book doesn't tell the entire story. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. Former President George W. Bush calls Midland's Javed Anwar, quote, "one of the most generous men I know," during the introduction of the profile of the Midlander in Bush's new book, Out of Many, One, Portraits in America's Immigrants. It is the latest and one of the grandest honors for the President and Chief Executive Officer of Midland Energy and Petroplex Energy. Another honor also came in March, as Anwar was given the second highest civilian award from leaders in the country where he grew up, Pakistan. The award is called the Hilal-e-Imtiaz, or translated, Crescent of Excellence. Anwar's giving side is well known in Midland, where he has been honored with the Outstanding Philanthropist Award from the Permian Chapter Association of Fundraising Professionals and the Hope Award from the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. When talking about philanthropy, whether it is a gift for $500,000 for the Centennial Park Project or donations to Hillander School, universities, hospitals, or even considerable international philanthropy to help those in Pakistan, Anwar mentions his mother and the example she set for sharing his fortune. Anwar fondly recalls comments she made about his spending on clothes, reminding him that working hard is a greater indicator of success. Anwar is one of two Midlanders featured among the 43 immigrants in the book. China Aid's Bob Fu is the other. Anwar said he has long admired Bush, going back to Bush's days as governor of Texas. Anwar has long supported Bush with his friendship and political resources. Quote, "Bush respected me, and we really became closer after he got done with office," Anwar said. Anwar considers himself fortunate for coming to the country at age 18, for being able to attend the University of Wyoming, for becoming a petroleum engineer, for patterning himself after the stylish Roy Williamson, and following through with a more philanthropic side because, in retrospect, he knew what it meant to not have it all growing up in Karachi. So, just as he enjoys having the nice suits, the Corvette, and plane, just like his mentor Williamson, Anwar took advantage of the opportunities he's been provided. It is the opportunity that allowed Anwar to make the deals, to go to business for himself, and become a community man, no matter if his community was Midland or thousands of miles away in Karachi. Quote, "I think God sent me over here to test me and what I can do for other human beings," Anwar said, "and that has been my philosophy." End quote. Sometimes, he admitted, people will take advantage of him. An assistant also in the conference room nodded in agreement at the admission. They also told the story about being repaid for his giving, including when he thought he had given away nearly all he had, only to receive a six-figure check on the same afternoon. Anwar is not only featured in Out of Many, One, like former Secretaries of State Henry Kissinger and Madeleine Albright, former California governor and motion picture star Arnold Schwarzenegger, and baseball superstar Albert Pujols, but he can boast a full-blown military ceremony when he received his Crescent of Excellence. He said he typically returns to Pakistan once a year. If not for that opportunity that he saw firsthand in America, he might have returned to Pakistan after college. Giving back to his first home wasn't just the right thing to do, it was needed. Quote, "In a poor country like Pakistan, you know there are people who work for daily wages," Anwar said, "and they lost their jobs. There was nothing going on. Big things started shutting down. So there were people that were visiting with me saying this is not that bad in America. You should see the country over there. People don't have food to eat." End quote. In the end, the man honored by two presidents, one with a portrait and profile, and the other with one of the country's highest honors, looks to set an example for his children and his community. He is proof that, if presented with opportunity, a hard-working person, even one from Pakistan, can succeed and find his fortune in West Texas. But life is not about the suits, planes, cars, or other luxury items. That is not how Anwar is measured. His greatest honors have been because of the money he has provided for others. That is why he is one of the most generous men that even a former president knows.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, May 6th, 2021. Local. Commentary. Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association offers this letter about closing Air Park by Tom Chandler of Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. I am writing in response to the April 29th article, City to FAA, Air Park will be rebuilt with modern facilities if moved, regarding the proposed closure of Midland Air Park. To begin, it's clear that the city of Midland is skewing the messaging. The article says it wants to relocate Midland Air Park. What it is really trying to do is close it. Building some additional hangars and associated taxiways at Midland International Air and Spaceport would not offset the losses to the community if this airport were to close. The tremendous benefits Midland Air Park provides are a function of its location and would be, in large part, lost forever. General aviation airports are proven local economic drivers, and Midland Air Park is no exception. The airport is home to over 100 aircraft and sees over 40,000 aircraft operations every year. A 2019 study completed by TxDOT Aviation Division revealed that Midland Air Park has a positive impact to the local community of $14.6 million annually, including 90 jobs, which represent $3.6 million in payroll. The closure of any airport is the aviation equivalent of removing a highway off-ramp, as is clearly visible when driving on any interstate highway. The location and number of off-ramps dramatically impacts the economic viability and overall development of a community. The situation is even more pronounced when it comes to airports. Businesses, hospitals, law enforcement facilities, and other critical infrastructure are located strategically to take advantage of the benefits an airport brings to the city. Each of these directly impact quality of life in Midland. Midland Air Park plays a vital role in the city. Closing it would be a loss for the community greater than any potential gains being touted by the city council. Insider. Summer events and camps will be offered for kids and families. By J.C. Lewis. The following is a roundup of summer camps and events for children and families this summer. To have a summer camp added, email jc@jlewis@mrt.com. Camp in the City at First Baptist Church of Midland, 2104 West Louisiana, July 5th through 9th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. A day camp for children who will be entering 1st through 6th grade next year. Tickets are $310. Details at fbcmidland.org/events. To register, visit campinthecity.com. Family Fridays at the Museum of the Southwest. Every Friday in June and July, the Museum of the Southwest will be hosting Family Fridays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. The museum will have come-and-go activities based on themes of creativity and learning for all ages. Bush Tennis Center Summer Sports Camp has availability for Session 5, which is scheduled for July 19th to 22nd. There are half-day and full-day camps available. For more information or to register, email sandra@bushtenniscenter.org or call 620-8180. The Little Gym of Midland will be offering day camps. Parents can choose their child's adventure between Super Quest camps for ages 3 to 8 years old or grade school skill thrill for ages 6 to 12 years old. Prices starting at $28 per session. For more information, visit thelittlegym.com/midlandtx/parties-camps/camps. Wonder Girls 2021, July 12th through 16th at Crossroads Church in Odessa. For girls entering grades 5th through 8th. Camp details, application, volunteer opportunities, and more will be available through the Crisis Center of West Texas. For more information, visit ccwtx.org/. Summer camp at YMCA begins on the Monday after school lets out. For children 4 to 12 years old, who have completed the first year of MISD or private schooling. Fun activities include swimming lessons, field trips, arts and crafts, playing in the gym, indoor and outdoor games. For more information, visit midlandymca.org/childcare/summer camp/. Petroleum Museum Summer Camps, June 9th through 11th, June 16th through 18th, June 23rd through 25th, July 5th through 8th, and July 19th through 22nd, 8 a.m. to noon, for ages 8 to 12 years old. Cost of camps is $60 for members and $75 for non-members. Pre-registration is required. For more information, visit petroleummuseum.org/summer-activities/. Kids College at Midland College, first session June 7th through 17th, and second session June 21st through July 1st. Due to COVID-19, the camps will be scaled down from the regular program. Enrollment limit will be 12 students per class, 2 class maximum per student. Face coverings are required, and social distancing will be enforced in classrooms, under tents, and walking between classes. For more information, visit midland.edu/continuing-education/kids-college/index.php. COM Aquatics will be offering summer camps. Registration opens Friday, and registration for the first session begins May 28th. The summer camp schedule begins June 1st. For more information, visit calmaquatics.com. Tiny Tykes Summer Camps by Challenger Sports Soccer Camps, June 21st through 25th, for ages 3 to 5 years old. Spots are $100. For more information, visit activityhero.com/biz/challenger-sports-soccer-camps/tiny-tykes-soccer? GEO equal Midland TX ampersand location underscore ID equal 76959 ampersand activity underscore schedule underscore ID equal 600557 ampersand start underscore date equal ampersand end underscore date equal. Summer Mummer Tickets, now on sale, by J.C. Lewis. Summer Mummer's tickets for the 73rd season are now on sale. Bootlegging Boobery in the Basin is this year's melodrama play. The plot features hero Johnny and his sidekick Rusty, who are recent graduates of Texas A&M with new degrees in distillation and fine spirit concoctions. The duo head to Midland, home of the Brooks Brothers Distillery, to find gainful employment. Their dreams are ruined as prohibition spreads across the state, preventing alcohol sales and consumption. Becky Brooks and her best friend, Bloody Mary, offer the two gentlemen a job at the Single Tree Hotel. Don Brooks, owner of the closed distillery, hears that prohibition won't last much longer. He plans an underground whiskey recipe competition and will award the winner by naming them as his replacement and new head distiller. Johnny joins the contest, which has stiff competition, including local parcel service owner Eric the Package Johnson. Eric and his assistant, High Pitch Tony, do everything they can to win, including lie, cheat, and they even use their parcel business to bootleg illegal booze through the basin. Summer Mummers will show at 7:30 p.m. every Friday and Saturday starting June 4th through September 4th at the Yucca Theater. For more information and tickets, visit mctmidland.org/summermummers2020. Community Calendar. Midland County Republican Women. Midland County Republican Women, 11:30 a.m. May 12th at Midland Country Club. Guest speakers are James Beecham of Motran and Tommy Taylor of Faskin Oil and Ranch. $25 per person with a reservation, $30 a person without a reservation. RSVP deadline is 5 p.m. Monday. Call Erica at 817-372-1465 to RSVP. Events and activities. Midland AF T-shirt design drop party, 7 p.m. Friday at the Arts Council of Midland. A celebration of life, 10 a.m. to noon Saturday at Scarber's Sports Complex. Mother's Day brunch, 10:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Sunday at Ranchland Hills Golf Club. Adults, $32.95. Children, $16.95. For reservations, contact John Powell at jpowell@ranchlandhills.com. Storytime for Young Readers, 10 to 11 a.m. May 13th at the George W. Bush Childhood Home. Victory Run and Walk with Midland Rockhounds and Gifts of Hope, 7 to 10 a.m. May 15th at Security Momentum Ballpark. Call Gifts of Hope at 218-8714 or visit giftsofhopetx.org for more information. Midland and Odessa Young Professionals Joint Meetings, 7 p.m. May 15th. League of Women Voters Midland Annual Meeting, 6:30 p.m. May 17th. MGMS Outdoor Market, 9 a.m. May 22nd, 602 South Main. Keys for Hope Clay Shoot Fundraiser, benefiting Gifts of Hope, June 18th at the Midland Shooters Association. Windy City Golf Tournament, 8 a.m. June 18th at Hogan Park, a senior life event. Keys for Hope Dinner and Cocktails featuring dueling pianos by Felix and Fingers, June 18th at the Bush Convention Center. Call Gifts of Hope at 432-218-8714 or visit giftsofhopetx.org for more information. Nonprofits. Community Meetings for Rope Youth. The nonprofit is looking for volunteers to help feed food insecure children this summer. Thursday at Golf Course Road Church of Christ in the Gathering Room, 6 to 7 p.m. Friday at Higher Grounds Coffee Shop, 6 to 7 p.m. Saturday at Tall City Brewing Company, 8 to 10 a.m. And May 10th at Stonegate Church Building F, 6 to 7 p.m. Permian Basin Gives, May 18th, a one-day giving event encouraging area residents to give to nonprofits. Online at permianbasingives.org. Big Shot for CASA Clay Shoot, 8 a.m. May 22nd at Jake's Clay's. Entertainment calendar. Dylan Wheeler at Rock and Rodeo, 10 p.m. Thursday. Basin PBS will host Marty Stewart and his fabulous band for a street party Thursday. Tickets are $70. Online, basinpbs.org/community/screenings-events/MSLive/. Or phone 563-5728. Reimagined by Permian Basin String Quartet, 7:30 p.m. Friday at First United Methodist Church. Tickets are $15. Hardy, a Rock Tour 2021, 7 p.m. Friday at La Hacienda Event Center. Tickets are $17.50. Visit etix.com/ticket/P/7140664/Hardy-Midland-La Hacienda-Event-Center. Midland North Side Lions Club 28th Annual We Serve Breakfast, formerly called Bunny Breakfast, 7 to 10 a.m., Saturday at Midland Park Mall Food Court. Henry Cho and Ron Hortman, 8 p.m. Saturday at Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Tickets are $54 to $104. Midland Rockhounds Home Opener, May 11th at Momentum Bank Park Ballpark. An Evening with Voctiv, part of the Phyllis and Bob Cowan Performing Arts Series, May 18th at Midland College. Contact the Midland College Foundation at foundation@midland.edu or phone 685-4526 to reserve tickets. Mike Ryan Band, 7 p.m. May 15th at La Hacienda Event Center. Tickets are $15. West Texas Blowout, May 22nd, at the Horseshoe. E.T. the Extraterrestrial in Concert by Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale, 7:30 p.m. May 22nd at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Tickets are $30 to $50. Cody Johnson, June 11th at the Horseshoe. Cesar Ornales Law, Mextex Family Fiesta, June 12th at Centennial Park. Celebration of the Arts 2021, July 16th through 18th at the Bush Convention Center. Regular meetings or activities. Healing Yoga for People Recuperating from Cancer, 5:30 p.m. Monday at the Yoga Sanctuary, 4202 Dawn Circle. Note, anyone with contributions to the Community Roundup can send them to sdoreen@hearstnp.com.
Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, May 6th. Jane Carolyn Wolfe. Jane was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma on October 19, 1922, to John Cornelius Fervoy and Venus Irene Glad Fervoy. After graduating from Marquette Catholic High School in Tulsa, she continued on to receive a BBA from Oklahoma State University. While at OSU, she met and would later marry George Lewis Wolfe on March 10, 1945. They lived in St. Louis, where their four children were born, and in 1959 they moved to Midland for the architecture job that George got. The home they purchased then would be their home for the remainder of both their lives. Preceding her in death were her parents, Jack and Irene, husband George, only son John Wolfe, sister Jackie Ingram, and her husband Thomas B. Ingram. Jane is survived by daughters Barbara Jane Clark of Midland, Carolyn Ann Copeland of Midland, Suzanne Marie McGinnis of Canyon Lake, daughter-in-law Audrey Ellen Wolfe of Midland, and several nieces and nephews. She is also survived by 8 grandchildren and 17 great-grandchildren. Rosary service was held at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, May 5th, at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. The funeral mass was held at St. Anne's Catholic Church at noon on Thursday. Memorials may be made to St. Anne's Catholic School at 2000 West Texas Avenue, Midland, Texas, 79701. Hospice of Midland at 911 West Texas Avenue, Midland, Texas, 79701, or the charity of your choice. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Teresa Frances Maduro Diso passed away on April 27th to join her beloved husband Bill. She was born in Mason City, Nebraska, to Frank and Valentina Badura on January 17, 1928, the youngest of 4 children. Preceding Teresa in death was Bill, her husband of 59 years, and her brothers Eugene and Paul Badura, as well as several half-brothers and sisters. She is survived by her sister, Elmarie Denny, her 5 children and their spouses, also her 13 grandchildren and 14 great-grandchildren. A graveside service will be held on May 8th at 11 a.m. at Rest Haven Memorial Park. A reception to celebrate her life will follow the service starting at 12:30 at Ranchland Hills Golf Club, 1600 East Wally Avenue. In lieu of flowers, please consider a donation in her memory to the Community Children's Clinic at Post Office Box 3328, Midland, Texas, 79702, or online, the Red Cross, or charity of your choice. Jesse James Williams, age 85, of Midland, passed away on May 2nd. Viewing will be held Monday, May 10th, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home Chapel. A service will be held Tuesday, May 11th at 1 p.m., also at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home Chapel. Interment will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Survivors include his 3 children, Irma Williams, Juanita Baker, and Uri Williams. Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home is honored to serve the Williams family at this time. Joel Abalos, age 59, of Midland, passed away on Monday, May 3rd. Viewing will be Thursday, May 6th, from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Funeral service is set for Friday, May 7th, at 10 a.m. at Life Challenge United Pentecostal Church at 4500 North Grandview Avenue in Odessa. He is survived by his wife, Esmeralda Abalos, 2 daughters, Vanessa Avalos and Ariana Avalos, numerous uncles, aunts, nephews, nieces, and cousins.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, May 6th, 2021. Leaders compare notes at summit by Ruth Campbell, R-C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L at OAOA.com. Unfinished learning, attracting talent, social-emotional learning, and how best to spend federal funds coming districts' way were just some of the topics covered at the Permian Basin Education Leadership Summit Wednesday at the Bush Convention Center in Midland. The event was put on by the Permian Strategic Partnership and the Education Partnership of the Permian Basin. After County ISD Superintendent Scott and Hobbs Municipal School Superintendent T.J. Parks spearheaded it. Along with superintendents, districts brought some of their leadership teams. Charter organizations also attended. It was a great day for a variety of reasons. One, it's a gathering of school districts all across the Permian Basin, New Mexico, and Texas, and that's unusual, but it's a healthy thing to do. I think kids and communities won today because of that. Two, a lot of us received some really good ideas. We have a significant influx of federal money coming our way. We want to make sure that we make the right investments, and today helped feed some of that work that we have to do to ensure that the right investments are made so that ultimately kids win and kids learn and things are better in all of our school districts, Murray said. After the summit, Parks said he thought that if districts in the Permian Basin gathered together, they could come up with some better ideas because there's nothing worse than wasting taxpayers' dollars. Referring to a slide on the screen that had the name of the conference and the New Mexico and Texas flags, Parks said he didn't know of another place in the country where you would have superintendents from two different states working together. So yes, we are the Permian Basin, regardless of this border that separates us. We do this work together, and we'll be much better because of the collective thought, Parks said. Adrian Vega, executive director of the Education Partnership of the Permian Basin, said participants will get a survey in about a week and an opportunity to meet virtually in about a month for a follow-up session. Vega said he thought Wednesday's gathering went very well. Districts are hungry to get together and to collaborate, to bounce ideas off of each other so that they can also think through what is going to be the most impactful ways that they can use these once-in-a-lifetime dollars. In my entire career, I don't know if I've been a part of something like this, where we've been able to bring, you know, together two states. But what's really interesting about this, and you heard T.J. Parks, the superintendent of Hobbs Municipal Schools, is it's not so much about state lines as much as a region, and really similarities of all being in what is referred to as the Permian Basin, Vega said. One of the ideas of the summit was to walk district leaders through a process in which they were able to think through, based on this recovery, every effort, based on unfinished learning, what were the big challenges that they're facing. Is it around talent? Is it around time? Is it around social-emotional learning? Because one of the things that, you know, is a reality for every person. The one thing that we all have in common is we've all gone through a pandemic. And so what that means then is how has the pandemic impacted the social, emotional kind of learning, not just for students, but even adults or even for staff. So when you think about that, these are the big buckets that this day helped school districts begin to process through and then whittle that down until they distilled down some big ideas that they can bring back to campus and figure out how to leverage those dollars in a way that they can address those critical areas, Vega said. Permian Strategic Partnership, permianpartnership.org, Education Partnership, educatepb.com. UTPB top architect retires by Federico Martinez, F-M-A-R-T-I-N-E-Z at OAOA.com. University of Texas Permian Basin Associate Vice President of Facilities Management, David Wayland, poses for a photo Wednesday in the weight room of the D. Kirk Edwards Family Human Performance Center. Photo by Jacob Ford, Odessa American. His lifelong motto has been, "Build it and they will come." And for the past 13 years, David Wayland has done just that for the University of Texas Permian Basin and the University of Texas system. In recent years, Wayland, who officially retired this past Friday, has overseen, to name a few projects, the construction of UTPB's Science and Technology Building, Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, the Engineering Building, and most recently, the D. Kirk Edwards Human Performance Center. I've been extremely fortunate to be part of this campus during this time, said Wayland, who has served as UTPB's Vice President of Facilities Management for the past 3 years. We've had a lot of projects going on. A big part of the reason I made the jump to UTPB is because of UTB President Dr. Sandra Woodley's vision. I saw that she was putting together a great team, an exciting team. Prior to arriving at UTPB, Wayland served as the Senior Project Manager for the University of Texas System Office of Facilities Planning and Construction. That experience is why Woodley wanted Wayland on her team, she said. This university has benefited from David Wayland's expertise and commitment since 2008, Woodley said. He is an exceptional talent, and we will miss him tremendously. His contributions to UTPB will be paying dividends for our campus and students for many years to come. Wayland, who was born in Bloomington, Delaware, earned his Master's of Architecture and B.S. in Architecture from the Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C. After stints working as an architect in Washington and New Mexico, he arrived in West Texas, where he was first hired as the chief building official for the city of Odessa from 1983 to 88, and then served in the same capacity in Midland until 2008, when he joined the University of Texas system, which consists of 8 campuses, including Odessa and Midland. Becoming an architect was a childhood dream that came true for Wayland, who says, "There was never any doubt in my mind what I wanted to do." He loves the challenges of designing and building something, whether it's a new house or a performing arts center. The most important task is making sure a project is completed within budget. One of his most challenging and enjoyable projects was the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, he said. There were so many consultants involved and so much to learn, Wayland recalls. At the start of the project, he quickly realized how intricate the design needed to be in order to provide the best acoustics, lighting, and seating. We ended up bringing in a theater consultant who came in and gave us all a lesson in Performing Arts 101 to help us understand what we needed to do, Wayland said. The $80 million Wagner Noel was a real fun project. For Wayland, the satisfaction comes from doing a job well done and knowing that he and his staff have created buildings that will serve instructors and students for many decades to come. Although Wayland officially retired on April 30th, he still participated in the university's commencement activities May 1st. On Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, he was back at his office desk, finishing up notes for his eventual successor and making sure he was on hand in case school administrators had any questions about current projects. Wayland laughs out loud when he realizes that he's in his office working on his birthday on May 5th. Being retired is going to take some adjusting to, he confesses. I just turned 67, Wayland said. I'm very fortunate to be able to retire at this age. Many people can't. It's going to be a transition. I'm starting a new chapter in my life, so I'm going to try and take it one day at a time. Maybe I'll get a little more golf in and be able to work out at a little more leisurely pace instead of always having to hurry to get to the office. Celebrating and saying thanks. Photo by Eli Hartman, Odessa American. Folklorico dancers from the group Via Mexico perform their routine during a Cinco de Mayo celebration and mixer Wednesday evening at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Convention Center. The event featured performances from the OHS Mariachi Band and the Folklorico dance group Viva Mexico. Healthcare workers honored at Cinco by Michael Bauer, MBAUER at OAOA.com. Cinco de Mayo is observed to commemorate the Mexican Army's victory over the French Empire at the Battle of Puebla in 1862. This year, another battle was the theme, as those who work in healthcare and fought COVID were honored with Pandemic Warriors Awards during the Cinco de Mayo 26th Annual Unity Luncheon Wednesday afternoon at La Margarita Festival Grounds. The event was put on by the Hispanic Heritage of Odessa. Healthcare workers, including CEO of Medical Center Hospital Russell Tippin, Odessa Regional Medical Center President Stacy Brown, and Araceli Romero of Salcedo Clinic, were among those who received the Pandemic Warriors Award. Speaking to the crowd at the park, Tippin thanked the community for being there with them during the pandemic and urged everyone that the fight against COVID is not over. "Let me encourage you that this battle is still going on every day," Tippin said. "If you know someone that needs a vaccine, we need to encourage them that this fight is not over. The virus makes no discrimination, so please tell your neighbors and your friends to please get vaccinated and be done with it." He acknowledged all the employees at MCH who have worked endless hours throughout this past year. "This award is dedicated to all of the staff and nurses who have worked tirelessly and stood by people's beds as they passed from this world into the next," Tippin said. "We love them and give them all the praise for this." Brown echoed Tippin's thoughts. "The real credit goes to all of our frontline workers who were at the bedside for day after day, month after month, and cried over our patients," Brown said. "We also appreciate the support from our community. We couldn't do it without you. The credit goes to everyone else." Romero was also grateful to be named among the Pandemic Warriors. "Thank you for allowing me to be among these honorable recipients," she said during her speech. "I want to thank the committee for allowing us to serve patients during this pandemic." Other people who were awarded the Pandemic Warriors Award were Luz Amparo Costa and Jacob Chavez of Andrews 4-H. Chavez helped make face masks for those who needed them, including medical employees. "Last year, during the global quarantine, we kept the news turned on about the pandemic," Chavez said. "One of the newscasts said that masks were running low for medical staff. I decided to use my extra fabric and sewing machine to make masks. My family took turns driving me to deliver the masks. I wanted to do my part to help, and if we traveled and someone needed one, I always had spare masks to hand out." District Judge Sarah Kate Billingsley and Odessa Mayor Javier Hoven delivered proclamations during the program. "It's a beautiful day," Hoven said before the ceremony. "It's great weather. It gives us an opportunity to spend some time together in this neighborhood. It's a great opportunity to meet people, network, and have some great food." Actor County Commissioner of Precinct 4, Armando Rodriguez, delivered the historical remarks on the Battle of Puebla. Other awards were given out, including the LULAC Estrella Award, which was presented to Dr. Shanti Thangam. Entertainment was provided by Viva Mexico Folklorico Dancers. Entertainment was provided by Viva Mexico Folklorico Dancers, with catering by La Margarita Restaurant. The day's events also included a fiesta at Odessa Marriott Hotel later in the day. Eli Hartman, Odessa American, photo. Odessa High School senior Sergio Mata, 18, sings a solo while performing with the OHS Mariachi Band during a Cinco de Mayo celebration and mixer Wednesday evening at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Convention Center. 460 days. For 460 days, the city has fought a lawsuit brought by the Odessa American to enforce the state law that guarantees the public's right to see basic police records. Through January 6th, the city has spent $112,138.47 of taxpayers' dollars to fight releasing information on crime in Odessa. Quick hits. Drive-up pet vaccine clinic. Odessa Police Animal Control, 910 West 42nd Street, has scheduled a cat-dog drive-up vaccine clinic from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. today at the shelter's east parking lot. Rabies shots are $15. Combo vaccine plus rabies shot is $30. Microchips are $15. Visit tinyurl.com/65V2ZBV5. Fiesta West Texas. Fiesta West Texas will celebrate its 25th year Friday through Sunday at the Ector County Coliseum. Doors open at 5 p.m. Friday. Family shows include Splash, Sea Lion Show, Swifty Swine Pig Races, Circus of Americas, UTPB Folklorico Dancers, Shout Cheerleading, Carnival, Food Vendors, and a Cornhole Tournament. The concert lineup includes Friday, La Zenda Norteña and Los Pescadores del Rio Concho. Saturday, Grupo Signo and La Energia Norteña. Sunday, Los Reyes del Norte and Los Perdidos de Sinaloa. For tickets, visit fiestawesttexas.com. For VIP, call 432-557-5598 or 999-0268. We Will Rock You, a virtual and live Queen Nation, a tribute to the music of Queen, benefiting the Aphasia Center of West Texas, has been scheduled for Friday at the Horseshoe Amphitheater, 2514 Arena Trail, Midland. Reserved VIP party starts at 6:30 p.m. Main gates and concessions open at 7:30 p.m. The concert starts at 8 p.m. General admission is free. Sponsorships are available. Sponsors receive reserved seats, catered food, host bar, valet parking, and more. For virtual option, party packs are available featuring local snacks, craft beer, and live stream concert access. For a party pack or to reserve your spot, visit www.aphasiawtx.org/concert. That's www.aphasiawtx.org/concert. Concert. The Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale will present Reimagined by the Permian Basin String Quartet at 7:30 p.m. Friday at First United Methodist Church, 300 North Main Street, Midland. The event will include Quartet for Strings by Amy Beach, Breakaway by Jesse Montgomery, and String Quartet No. 4 by Dmitri Shostakovich. Tickets are $15 and students are free. Tickets may be purchased at the door. For tickets, visit mosc.org. Share the Love check presentation. Subaru of Midland, Odessa, and the American Red Cross serving the Permian Basin teamed up for the Share the Love event last year. On Friday at 10 a.m., Subaru of Midland, Odessa will present a check to the Red Cross for money raised during that event. From Staff Reports. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, May 6th, 2021, local and state. Local news roundup. Man charged with 10 counts of child pornography. A Texas Department of Public Safety probable cause affidavit detailed that a 77-year-old was arrested for possession of 270 images of child pornography and 16 images of bestiality. Danny Allison Bronner was charged with 10 counts of possession or promotion of child pornography, a third-degree felony. On November 15, 2019, DPS Criminal Investigation Division Special Agent Zachary Epperson executed a search warrant on Bronner's residence, located in the 5500 block of Dakota Avenue, the affidavit stated. The search warrant was for the seizure of items related to possession of promotion of child pornography. Numerous electronic storage devices were seized to be forensically searched. On March 19th, DPS CID Special Agent Alan Gum reportedly completed the forensic search of Bronner's devices. In total, Special Agent Gum identified 270 images that met the definition of child pornography and 16 images that met the definition of bestiality. Special Agent Gum also discovered search terms that are utilized to search for child pornography. On April 30th, Special Agent Michael Harless reviewed Special Agent Gum's forensic report and singled out 10 images that met the definition of child pornography of the 270 images, the affidavit stated. While being interviewed by CID Special Agent Anthony Bennett on November 15, 2019, Bronner reportedly admitted to searching for and downloading images of child pornography. Bronner stated he did receive sexual gratification from the images of child pornography. Bronner was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on the 10 counts of possession or promotion of child pornography on May 4th, jail records show. He has 10 bonds totaling $75,000 and was still in custody as of Wednesday morning. Man charged with tampering with witness. A 43-year-old man was arrested after he reportedly attempted to coerce witnesses to change their statements made to detectives at the Odessa Police Department. James Benjamin Carter was charged with tampering with a witness, a third-degree felony. The Odessa Police Department received a call at 7:47 p.m. April 14th from a victim needing to report a violation of a protective order, an OPD probable cause affidavit stated. The victim was reportedly identified as Carter, who stated that his ex-wife, identified as Madeline Carmen Lopez, was violating an emergency protective order by making alarming and embarrassing statements about his person to several known acquaintances. Detectives made contact with Carter and attempted to gather evidence of the claims, the affidavit stated. Carter stated that a local business received a phone call from Lopez stating that he is a drug user and is known to sleep with prostitutes. Carter also stated that Lopez called his boss, saying the same embarrassing statement. However, he refused to provide any of his boss's information. After making contact with the local businesses, detectives reportedly spoke with four witnesses who all confirmed that Lopez and Carter are regulars and that Lopez never called up to the center to make any statements. One witness stated she spoke to Lopez personally and that Lopez arrived to the business and vented that she and Carter were no longer together, but never made any alarming or embarrassing statements about Carter, the affidavit stated. When Carter was reportedly advised that there was no evidence to validate his claims and that all witnesses from the business stated Lopez never made any comments, Carter became upset and demanded for Lopez to be arrested without any evidence. On April 26th, detectives received a phone call from the manager of the business stating that Carter called the business and attempted to coerce her and her employees into changing their statements to the investigator by saying that they all lied, the affidavit stated. Carter knowingly tampered with a witness by coercing the witness to testify falsely. Carter was arrested and booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on April 27th. Jail records show he has one bond totaling $15,000 and was still in custody as of Wednesday afternoon. OA News at OAOA.com.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.